Hello, everyone, and welcome to the 2024 All-Star Edition podcast by the Junk Ballers, Kevin Otterbein and Michael Greenwood. Kevin, how you doing? Why are you?
Well, first of all, you walked through the door 10 minutes ago and I was lying down. Then I walk out here and you're like, hey, how's it going?
Yes.
I'm all hyped up on sugar.
Yeah. Today, I've had three donuts, and I've had a piece of cake, and coffee, and a beer. That's all I've had today, because I went and got some donuts with my friend that I caught up with. Then I went to my sister-in-law's birthday party and had a piece of cake, and then I had a beer while I was over there. And I haven't had time to just sit down and have, like, a, you know, lunch or breakfast in any way. But, you know, cake, donuts, I don't think anyone's going to be complaining. But I definitely am a little energetic right now, I would say.
Yeah, you're kind of like...
a little bit. Yeah, no, I'm just excited. I'm excited to talk about the All-Star game and the Home Run Derby and give us our thoughts. And yeah, sorry that I woke you up.
You didn't wake me up. I was just lying down and I wasn't expecting to do that. I was feeling fine and then I went to lie down and I didn't want to get back up again. And then I hear you come through the door and I'm like, oh, great. It's time to record a podcast.
I said I'd be home around 5-ish. No, it's all good, people. So, yes, we are going to be talking about the 2024 All-Star Week that MLB has put out. It is in Arlington, Texas, Globe Life Field, Globe Life Park, whatever it is. It's a beautiful stadium. The only thing that I've heard about it is that our one friend, Mike Paisani, he was there. And he said it was really weird being inside a, you know, inside stadium. We've both been in Tropicana, right? And it definitely doesn't feel like a baseball stadium. So that's our only gripe with, even though we like dome, like retractable roofs, we wish the roof was open.
Well, I mean, maybe the vibe's a bit different with a retractable roof because at the very least you can open it.
Yeah.
With Tropicana, that's permanent. You can't open that.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to open Arlington, Texas with Arlington, Texas weather in July.
Yeah. Well, they just had a hurricane go through too.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah. I was totally oblivious to that. I just all of a sudden I was playing pickleball and they're like, "Oh yeah, there's a hurricane coming." I'm like, "What?"
Yeah.
And they're like, "Yeah, it's like the biggest one, like or like the earliest it's ever formed." I'm like, "Wow, I'm so out of the loop with a lot of stuff right now." But yeah. So it's in Arlington, Texas, and we're gonna go through. This is a special edition, people. So we're only talking about All-Star Week, all right? No other talk whatsoever, unless someone wants to get something off their chest, because I know something happened today that you want to get off. I'm just going to completely move past my team today.
Well, I'm gonna move past it after I just talk about it.
Okay.
So this weekend was a very, very important series, probably the most important of the whole year, with the Yankees and the Orioles for both teams. Both teams having the two best records in the American League. Both teams not going into the series playing all that great. Yankees had lost 8 straight series. The Orioles had a losing streak going into it.
Yeah, 5 games. Yeah. After yesterday, they had lost 5 games. Yeah.
And we went to the game actually yesterday in Baltimore. We'll talk about that in a quick one.
It was a lot of fun.
It was fun. We got to catch up with a couple of college friends, and we had some awesome wings. And
good.
Camden Yards is just a beautiful ballpark to go to.
Yeah.
Today, I had some free time this afternoon between church and the podcast, so I'm like, I'll sit down and watch the Yankees play. And I tell you, I've watched a lot of baseball. So many games.
So many.
I don't think I've seen a loss as embarrassing as that in quite some time.
Yeah.
And I'll explain why.
Yeah, explain.
So the ninth inning was a crazy inning. So Craig Kimbrell of the Phillies, former Philly. Former. Yeah, you don't want to own Craig Kimbrell.
No. I don't want to own anyone. Yeah. No.
Well, was it not? It's not owners. It's governors.
Yeah,
governors.
The NBA is now governors instead of owners.
Governors. Yep. Gotcha. Yeah. So they were up 3-2. Kimbrell comes in. He gives up the 3-run shot to Ben Rice, who should be starting at first base at this point, probably. I don't think Rizzo should he start him when he comes back? He should be fighting for his job. That's my hot take, but I don't have a hot take this one.
A little early in the podcast.
I'll go the bottom of the ninth, and it does tie into our discussion of the All-Star game because Clay Holmes comes in, who's technically an All-Star.
Correct.
Going into this game, he was tied for blown saves in the American League. He had 6. Mm. He threw twice as many balls as strikes.
Oof.
But he was still maybe able to salvage it. They had the bases loaded, 2 out. Mm-hmm. There's a grounder that goes right to Volpe, and all he has to do is just pick it up, throw it to second, boom, game's over. He bobbles it. He fumbles it trying to like exchange between the glove and the ball, and everyone's safe. Then like 30 seconds later, there's a ball hit down the left field line toward Verdugo, and it's like, okay, if Verdugo just sits there and doesn't fall down, doesn't dive, doesn't slide, he wins the Yankees win. He trips over himself running backwards, and the ball just goes into that left field territory, which is an abomination. It's not cute, like our friend said.
Yeah, no.
It's not aesthetically pleasing. It goes there. Yankees lose. It was an embarrassing loss. I just wanted to throw that out there just as a little therapy session. But they took 2 out of 3. I'm okay with it. And, yeah, how's the All-Star game?
Well, I will say that there are people that are listening, so they heard you, and they're listening to you. So,
yes.
good therapy session.
Yes.
I mean, Verdugo tripped because I wasn't watching him, because he's very good when I watch him play. He had a single yesterday, almost had a bloop, but he didn't have the 3 home runs that we were predicting when I watched him in person. But
no, and there was no golden sombrero.
No. Yeah. It was a good day yesterday. Yeah. But all right, let's move on to the All-Star week. And we are going to start with the Home Run Derby, which is going to be on ESPN tomorrow at 7 o'clock. One thing about the Home Run Derby that has kind of lost a little bit of its luster, I would say, is you don't see the big power guys doing it as much as you did back in the day when you had Griffey, McGuire, Sosa, all those big guys. And then with the year they had Stanton and Judge in it at the same time, like those were, you stopped and watched the Home Run Derby. The only person that I'm like, oh yeah, like, I'm going to stop and watch because he's going to hit a ton of home runs, is Alonso. And I hate saying that because I absolutely loathe that man. But Alonso's really good at this. He does a great job at this Home Run Derby. Mm-hmm. But yeah, what do you think? Do you think that it's lost a little bit of its like star ability with the participants? Or should we list the participants so that way the listeners can understand what we're saying?
Sure.
Yeah. We'll do that first. All right. So we have representing the National League, we have Pete Alonso for the Mets, Alec Boehm for the Phillies, Marcelo Zuna for the Atlanta Braves, and Teoscar Hernandez for the Los Angeles Dodgers. And then for the AL, we have Adelis Garcia, who is representing Texas and the home team. It's Gunnar Henderson. There we go. Good words, Michael, for the Orioles. Jose Ramirez for the Cleveland Guardians, and then Bobby Witt Jr. for the Kansas City Royals. So when I say those names, what goes through your head?
Meh.
Yeah. I agree.
Well, to answer your question beforehand, I thought the Home Run Derby started to lose a bit of its luster when Chris Berman stopped doing it.
Oh yes, yeah, back, gone. Yeah. It's not the same, people. It's not. You can say what you want about Chris Berman, whatever you want. You can say he's annoying or whatever, but the Home Run Derby is not the same without that.
No, I mean the big sluggers aren't really there. I mean Alonso's there, but
Adelis Garcia is like a very strong man, but I don't view him as like
I don't see him as a slugger.
Yeah, no, he's not a slugger.
No.
Like Gunnar Henderson has, what, 26 homers or something like that? 27?
27, I believe.
Yeah. So he's probably going to, there's going to be a lot of home runs. It's a home run derby.
Yeah.
But it's, I don't know. It's, there's something about, you're not going to see the 500 foot home runs that you once saw with Sosa, McGuire, Griffey, Judge, like even Judge, when Judge did it in Miami, that was the last time that I felt that it was like, holy crap, this is ridiculous. Where I will say that the Home Run Derby has been good the last couple of years just because of the format. The star power is not there. You don't have, because remember when Pujols used to do it, like the only guy that's really, like Bobby Witt Jr. and Gunnar Henderson, they're two young up-and-comer shortstops. That's exciting. But Marcelo Zuna, Teoscar Hernandez, I'm just going to say it, Alec Boehm and Adelis Garcia, they're not star guys. They're just average all-star. They're all all-star. Garcia is not, but they're all stars, but they're not like, oh yeah, I'm gonna stop and watch type thing, you know?
It would have been interesting to see someone even like Ohtani in the home run derby.
Yeah, because Ohtani did it in Colorado.
Yeah.
Ben, he did okay, but everyone was really excited. I think it was overhype.
But when you get Ohtani, that's when you do have the star power.
Yeah.
And he's not there.
Yeah. You needed a Judge, Ohtani, or Harper to do it, or even Trout if he was healthy.
Yeah.
But you don't have the draw to watch the home run derby as you used to.
Yeah, I mean, even if Vlad decided to do it this year, it would be a bit more interesting because he won it last year.
It could have been a rematch against Alonso and Vlad from a couple years ago, too, when Alonso beat Vlad. Wait, Vlad won last year?
I thought so, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did. It was in Seattle. That's right. I don't know what the dimension, because apparently it's easier to hit a home run to right field at Globe Life than left field. Globe Life at left field is kind of a little bit deeper. Shoots out in left center. But so we'll see. The left-handed hitters might have an advantage. And you have you only have two left-handed bats, but Jose Ramirez might bat right-handed. So you might not see a ton of home runs going to right field.
It's 326 down the right field line.
Yeah, I said it's easier to hit it to right.
Yeah,
right? Yeah. But there's only two left-handed hitters. But what I've heard is that Jose Ramirez feels he has more power going to the right-handed hitter. Yeah. So there could be seven right-handed bats instead of that's another thing. They needed to switch it up and have home runs going to right field. I like I think there should be four and four, like four left-handed batters, four right-handed batters. They need MLB didn't do a great job of this. No. I don't think they did. At all.
It's a lot like the slam dunk contest now, I think.
Oh, slam? I mean, okay. The slam dunk. I don't think it's gotten that bad. I don't think it's. No star players do the slam dunk contest anymore. I think Dwight Howard's the last person I remember, actually, that I can remember by name. Maybe Zach LaVine, but that's it. You know, you have, Max McClung. That was who won it for the Sixers. I don't even know his first name, but it's definitely McClung. But yeah, it's not gotten that bad. But it is definitely. It's definitely not as exciting this year, and I think most of our listeners would agree.
Yeah,
yeah. All right, who do you think is going to win the home run derby? If you were to put, you know, your just your best guess.
I mean, since Alonso's in it, I wouldn't be surprised if he won it again.
Yeah, I think he might be the betting favorite. Maybe Gunner might be up there too.
Yeah.
I think Ozuna. I was listening to some analysts talk about Ozuna. He's kind of got a loopy swing. He's going to have a lot of pop-ups. Bohm's kind of got a level swing. I've heard that he does really well in BP where he just lets it go. But I don't think Bohm's going to win it. I'm interested to see Teoscar Hernandez. He's got kind of sneaky power a little bit. Mm-hmm. So it'd be interesting to see him do it. Also, I kind of like him a lot, even though he's with the Dodgers. I think it'd be cool to have Garcia win it because it's a hometown thing. That'd be cool. But yeah, we'll see. I don't know. I think I'd probably, if I'm not going the safe route, I think I'll probably go Teoscar Hernandez. And now that I say that, he's probably going to have like three home runs. But that's how it is, people. So you're going to bet a lot. You're not betting. We don't bet here, people. You're going to pick Alonso as your winner?
Yeah, I will.
Yeah, I'll pick Hernandez. I'll pick Teoscar. I'll do that. So we got, do you think that'll be the final round? Alonso versus Hernandez? I don't know how the bracket is.
I don't know how the bracket is.
Yeah, but no, that's a good, yeah.
Well, I mean, it's, I know you say it's a safe pick, but it's still a good pick because he's done it before and he's won it.
Yeah, if he wins one more, he ties Griffey for the most all-time in championships for home run derby. But yeah, Alonzo's that guy that hangs around high school too long. And yeah, just anyway. All right. So that's the home run derby, people. That's tomorrow, Monday, July 15th at 7. So I know we'll be watching it together. Hopefully you can watch it and let us know what your thoughts are and who you think's going to win. So let's move on to the jerseys for the All-Star game.
Yes.
What, if you haven't looked at the jerseys, people, just Google it right now. Stop where you are, except if you're driving, continue to drive. But stop where you are and look up the All-Star game jerseys. I think that they're absolutely horrendous. I saw them in person. I thought the hat would be okay in person, but oh my gosh, the NL jersey in person, the neon orange that is on it. What colors does it doesn't represent anything Texas Rangers, does it?
Orange? Where do you see orange on the National League jersey?
The National League jersey, that's like a bright pink orange.
Okay.
It's like a neon.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's because I saw it in person. I'm like, oh, that's neon orange pink. NL. What are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, I haven't seen it in person, but
yeah.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of the American League ones. The colors are like, I don't like the cream with the orangey pink, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
And they have the blue hem around the sleeve.
Yeah.
I think that it's a little too muted.
Yeah.
It's too muted of a cream color for it to work. And the blue is just off-putting. It's random. I think there shouldn't be blue there if you're just going to put blue on the Nike logo and the hem.
I'm curious as to see what the full uniform is going to be, because I'm sure it's probably going to be that tan cream all the way through to the pants.
Oh, if it's the pants, then it's even worse.
Yeah, and then I think the National League, if it's black and then the blue like socks or something, like, oh, it's going to be terrible.
It would look a bit better than the American
really?
League. Black pants would look better than...
No, it just looks bad. The black and the blue, it's like, it doesn't work. It looks like Miami. It looks a little bit like Miami colors.
But we're
in Texas. They're in Texas, not Miami. What is this? Like I think the American League looks a little bit more like the Texas, kind of like almost like a Western type vibe and everything. What do you think?
Because of the cream color.
Because of the cream color and then the orange and the blue. Because it's like an orangey red. But it doesn't represent. So this is something that we talked about. I talked about this morning. I sent Kev a picture of the Futures game jerseys, and they represent the Rangers much better in terms of what they are. They Google the Future game jerseys. They are significantly better. They would have been better than these jerseys that we're getting for the All-Star game. And I don't know who to blame, whether it's Fanatics, MLB. I'm just going to blame MLB in general, because who is approving all these designs? No, like the talk on Twitter is like, we can do better than this. We can do better.
Well, there's a story behind these as well.
Of course there is.
So I brought it up. So the design also includes bold colored blocking, modern trims, and vibrant highlights meant to represent a bridge between the past and the future. The home American League jerseys will feature a sandy base and National League a navy blue base. It's a navy blue
That's
base?
Not navy blue
That's
at
not
all.
Navy. That's black.
That's black. Wait, really?
The visiting National League threads will have a navy blue base with light blue sleeves and lettering.
Yeah, no, it's really...
That's
it,
not...
It looks black. I saw it in person. It looks black.
That does
it
not
looks
look
darker
like
than
blue.
The Yankee blue.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. I can see a little bit here that it's blue, but... When I saw it in person, I'm like, oh, that's black.
The All-Star caps feature a similarly bold design, including horizontal lines behind the team logo and a single star to the side that connotes both the All-Star honor as well as Texas's Lone Star nickname.
Yeah. I don't like the hats either. The hats are okay.
Yeah, they're all right.
But I actually kind of like, there's some different like regular Phillies colors of the hat, just like red, blue, and white. That are actually kind of good, but the colors of the blue, I don't know, it just looks bad. We can do better than this. How hard is this, people? Like, just all these City Connect crap jerseys, and then we get the All-Star game. We're trying to grow the game, people. What is this? I'm sorry, I'm frustrated. It's just all these terrible jerseys. Like, I can't believe people are buying this. I'm not spending $150, $160 on a terrible jersey. It's just not worth it.
You know what would be good jerseys for the All-Star game?
I know. The actual team jerseys.
Yes.
Gosh, we talked about that last time. Did we talk about the last time or the episode
before? We brought it up many times, I think.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. This is so much easier. It's cooler. It's you can have like these for the Home Run Derby or something like that. That's fine. But for the love of God, just... Go back to the way it was. There was nothing wrong with what it, but you got to earn money. You got to sell stuff and everything. A bunch of crap.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So now that we've gone through the only thing like in terms of imagery that is good about the All-Star Game is the All-Star Game logo. The All-Star Game logo is actually really cool. It's got it's kind of got a Western vibe with the Lone Star State, and then the logo has like Texas in the image, and the coloring of all of it is pretty good. I like the font, like definitely up there with one of the best logos in a while for MLB. Like they nailed that. But then they have fallen down the steps significantly hard with those jerseys. Significantly. Like, they broke some bones on that on those steps going down. Like, call life alert, people. Call life alert.
When you say steps, do you mean, like, steps down one of those office building staircases? Or, like, the Art Museum in Philly, where it's just, like, you're just continuing going down steady decline?
They're tumbling. Down. Yeah, they're tumbling down hard. Like they were jumping up and down with the logo, like Rocky, and then as soon as they were like, "Oh, there was a banana underneath him!" Oh, slipped right down the art museum steps, all the way down to the street. Yeah, that's how bad it is, people. In my opinion, let us know your opinion on the jerseys. You know, if you like them, so be it. I think you're wrong, but here it is. That's why we have a podcast, to tell our opinions and for you to listen, and then let us know your opinions and tell us how we're wrong. That's how, you know, that's we're in America. You know, it's the, we get to talk, have our opinion, and we don't get arrested for it. So, all right, let's go through the rosters and whether or not they are actually good rosters. All right, I will go first since I am the away team. And the NL starters are catching William Contreras, first baseman Bryce Harper, Ketel Marte at second, third base Alec Bohm, shortstop Trey Turner, outfield Christian Yelich, Jurickson Profar, and Fernando Tatis Jr. with Ohtani as the DH. Now, when I think of that lineup, I do not think of all-star lineup, really. Harper, Turner, Ohtani, and probably Tatis are probably the guys that I think of like star power. Yelich maybe, but you know, Contreras has been he's first time, might be a second time All-Star. I'm not 100% sure, but he's having a good year. Harper's having a great year. Marte's having a good year. Turner's been hurt, but he's having a good year now. Yelich is having to bounce back a little bit. Jurickson Profar has all of a sudden turned into the prospect that everyone has thought he would be. Tatis is having an okay year. And then Ohtani's having an MVP year. But it's not the star power that you're used to having in an all-star lineup. You know, when you think of, when you look back at like the, you know, the 90s or like late 90s, early 2000s with lineups, you had Pudge Rodriguez behind home plate, Hall of Famer. Then you had McGuire, Bonds, Chipper, all those guys just in the lineup. You're like, wow, this is something that, a spectacle. It's not a spectacle seeing these guys in the lineup. Harper and maybe Ohtani, but Tatis has lost his star power because of the injuries and controversy around him. But guys aren't coming to see Ketel Marte, Alec Bohm, Jurickson Profar, and William Contreras. They're just not. It's not, that lineup does not install fear in me when I think of it.
Would you say that that has to do with just the continuing trend of hitting not being up to par as it has been in the past?
I would say it has something to do with it, but the thing is you're also not seeing the star player. Like, Arenado's not in it anymore.
But the part of having that star power is having the power.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that you're starting to see not as much consistency from year to year from players. You're seeing, like, a good year, then a bad year. A good year, or, like, guys getting older. You just don't see the continuous. Like, this is Harper's first time playing for the All-Star team since he's been with the Phillies. He was injured but was selected 1 year. But this is his sixth year with the team, and this is the first time he's playing with the All-Star team? Like, that's ridiculous. Harper's one of the biggest names in baseball. I mean, Ohtani's in it. That was a given. Like, unless he was hurt, he was going to be in it. Yeah. But none of these guys were in the All-Star lineup last year, I don't believe, for starters. So it's not like a repeat. You know, it's not consistency. Yeah. And consistency builds up like, oh, you get to see this guy again. You get to see this guy in the lineup. Like Trout for a while, like you see him in the All-Star game every time. And he was great All-Star games. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't instill fear in me, and it's not a spectacle to go see these guys. The only guys that I'd be like, I really be like, oh yeah, no, I'd go pay to see them, or Harper and Ohtani. But that's just me. And there was also like Turner got in as a starter because Mookie was hurt. But the shortstop position and the outfield position for the NL was so weak, along with third base. Yes. Like, it's just so weak. So weak. Arenado's having not a great year. And I can't think of, like, Matt Chapman's not even having a good year for the Giants. You can't think of another third baseman that actually really deserves. Machado, down year. Like, Alec Bohm's the only third baseman for the MLB that, like, you really think, oh, yeah, you know what? He's having a good year. I don't think there's another third baseman on the roster. Or is Elliot Ramos? No, he's outfield. Alec Bohm is the only third baseman from the NL to make it. In the entire National League, the only third baseman. That shows you how weak that position is. All right, let's go through reserves. And I'm going to talk specifically about probably one or two players that shouldn't be here. So you got Will Smith catching, CJ Abrams for the infield, Pete Alonso, what a joke, Luis Arraez, Mookie Betts, Ellie De La Cruz, Freddie Freeman, Ryan McCann, Teoscar Hernandez, Jackson Merrill, Elliot Ramos, who I feel like I should know, but I don't know him, Brian Reynolds, and then Marcelo Zuna. Alonso should not be on this roster whatsoever. The dude has, I believe, a low 7 OPS, and he's barely hitting. He's got like a 2-something batting average, but he is not having a good year at all. Lindor is having a pretty good year, and he is not even he wasn't even sniffing the roster.
Mm-hmm.
Not even sniffing it. Now, Alonso has 19 home runs and 51 RBIs, but Francisco Lindor, I believe, has a WAR of like 6th in the NL, which is pretty good. He's batting .253 with 17 homers, 52 RBIs. So he's hitting higher than Alonso, has 2 less home runs and 1 more RBI, as well as 18 stolen bases.
You can make an argument, too, that even someone like Brandon Nimmo could have been in Alonso's place as well.
That was going to be my next thing. Brandon Nimmo is deserving of it over. But I don't know what. MLB might have something against the Mets. But Lindor is actually having a better year than Alonso. But you have Freeman and Harper for first base. Like, you're fine. Lindor is more deserving of it than Alonso, 100%. And I'm not coming at it because I hate Alonso. Like, Alonso he didn't deserve to make it. But I think there could be a little bit of, you know, sliding in because he's a free agent and, you know, he was an all-star. He wins the home run derby. But Lindor hasn't represented the Mets as an all-star yet. And this is his fourth season. So that's definitely something to keep an eye out for. So yeah, Brendan Nimmo is the other one that I think that he probably should have made it. I don't know. I was looking at this roster. I don't know exactly who I'd take off over Nimmo because they all need a representative. And like Jackson Merrill, like we have 3 San Diego outfielders.
Mm-hmm.
Jackson Merrill's having a good year. Elliot Ramos, I believe, is having like he's batting like 300, something like that. But I think I'd probably rather have Nimmo over him. Like Elliot Ramos is batting .298 with an .888 OPS, 14 homers, 46 RBIs. Good year. You know, he's 24. Nimmo, I believe Nimmo has a higher WAR than him, but it's just there's no star power. It's not as fun as it used to be, people. It really isn't. And it's kind of bothering me. And now, most importantly, where it has lost a lot of its star power, I believe, is the starting pitching. Gone are the days where you have Zach Greinke, Clayton Kershaw, Max Scherzer, Jacob deGrom, all those big, Garrett Cole, all those big-name guys, and now you have the guys that can throw 5 to 6 innings, and they get the all-star vote because they strike out a lot of guys but only pitch 5 or 6 innings. Paul Skeens is starting the National League All-Star game. I think that's deserving. He's been the best pitcher in the league last month and a half probably. And it's good for baseball, I'll say. I just miss. I know these guys are, you know, the way pitching has gone. I'll just list all the guys. Max Fried for the Atlanta, Hunter Green for Cincinnati, Shota Imanaga for the Cubs, Ronaldo Lopez from Atlanta, Christopher Sanchez from the Phils, Paul Skeens from Pittsburgh, Logan Webb for San Francisco, and Zach Wheeler for the Phils. Those are the starting pitchers.
Skeens is starting overall in the All-Star game, I think, right?
Yes, yes, yeah. And then relief pitchers, you have Ryan Hensley from St. Louis, Hoffman from the Phils, Tanner Scott from Miami, Matt Strom from the Phils, Robert Suarez from San Diego. And then unavailable are Ranger Suarez, Chris Sale, and Tyler Glasnow. Now, Glasnow and Sale, those are two guys that definitely you see on the page and you're like, oh, those are good guys. But and Wheeler's been dominant, but and Logan Webb's kind of building his name up. But Max Fried still, like, you don't think of him as like a top 10 pitcher. When you think of like starting pitchers for the All-Star game, you think of the guys that are borderline Hall of Famers or, you know, consistent All-Stars. But a lot of these guys are first timers. Like Fried, Hunter Green, Christopher Sanchez, all first time. They were added. I'm sorry. Those were added. But I think Hunter Green is his first time. Christopher Sanchez, first time. Paul Skeens, first time. Ronaldo Lopez, first time. Imanaga, first time. Hoffman, first time. Strom, first time. Suarez, first time. Ranger Suarez, first time. It's just a lot of first-time guys that you're like, there's no building. Like, oh, I get to see this guy again, this guy again. All these guys are actually, I think, the thing is, it's not that they're not deserving, because I think that all the guys for the pitching are pretty good that they're deserving of in the NL at least. But it's just not the same as it used to be back at least 5-10 years ago with these dominant. Like, you remember when Scherzer, and you remember the Mets when they were in the Citi Field, and it was Scherzer versus Matt Harvey for the All-Star game? Yep. Like, there was some weight to it. And I'm not sure if that's because, like, they changed the rule for, like, actually having home field advantage for the game. But there was actually some, like, importance to, like, strategy involved with it instead of just, like, it's a game with guys there, you know? I feel like it's almost become, like, a backyard baseball type vibe thing. What are your thoughts?
I don't know. Like, I don't think I necessarily have to see the All-Star game as having some sort of implication to have it be fun and interesting to watch.
Yeah.
Because in the 90s, before they implemented the rule after the tie game where whoever won had home field advantage in the World Series, those were still great things to watch, great bits of entertainment because of the people who were there.
Yeah.
Not necessarily the situation around the game itself. So you talked about Bonds and McGuire and Sosa being in those All-Star games. And now you see who's in this lineup now.
Yeah.
I mean,
so Mookie's not in the lineup.
Mookie's not in the lineup.
You don't have Arenado, you don't have Goldschmidt, you don't have like Yadier Molina, you don't have like the big name catchers. Almost like a new wave. Like this is like the beginning of like the new wave, hopefully they'll be consistent guys, but there's no consistency anymore.
Do you think that's also because MLB is promoting parity as opposed to consistency?
Are they promoting parity? Because this is voted on by the fans.
But I mean, isn't there ultimately a decision made like by players and managers and stuff for
the starters?
Yeah.
No, that's all fans. That's all fans. Like yeah. They voted Trey Turner in over Mookie Betts. Like Mookie could have been starting, but because he was injured,
yeah.
Like he got outvoted by Trey Turner.
Gotcha.
But it's just, I don't know. It's lost its power, and it kind of makes me sad because I used to. Also, the All-Star game is going to be 2-0 because the pitching is just so dominant. You get these guys that come in throwing 100, and these guys ramp it up for the All-Star game. So, I mean, definitely some. It just makes me miss like the star. Like I go to see this All-Star game for the stars, and a lot of these guys aren't stars. Like they're just having a good year. And so it's not like, oh, they were actually All-Stars. I mean, you definitely get guys that, you know, they have a couple All-Star games, but there's no consistency anymore with it. And it's bothering me. Now I can just be complaining for the fun of it, but I think people would actually agree with me that there is some lesser spectacle to the All-Star game, at least with the NL lineup. I would say it's not of all those guys that are in that lineup, probably two make the Hall of Fame, maybe with Harper and Otani. Tatis maybe has a shot if he keeps it up, but like none of those guys have enough good numbers to really can be possibly all Hall of Famers. Am I wrong?
Well, among the reserves, perhaps someone like a Mookie Betts.
Yep, Mookie and Freddie. Yeah. Mookie and Freddie. So in the and then for pitchers, I mean, Wheeler's not making the Hall of Fame. I mean, Paul Skeens, if he stays healthy and keeps doing what he's doing, he might have a shot. But none of those guys are probably going to. Oh, Chris Sale, he might. He would be considering. But so I have four Hall of Famers out of in 1 year on one team. Like that's not a lot. That's not like I remember one lineup they had all Hall of Famers. Like it's just it's not the same people.
Yeah. And yeah. Chris Sale has hardly pitched the last couple of years.
Yeah, Chris. Yeah, this it's not he's not the same Chris Sale that you saw in Chicago or the early couple of years in Boston.
He's having a good year this year.
He is. You know, he's helped the Braves out. The Braves have gotten some good contributions from guys that they didn't expect.
The starting pitching's really helped them this year so far.
Yeah, like Acuna's not in it. That's another name I totally forgot.
Yeah,
Acuna's not in it. Strider's not, he's hurt. Like all the pitchers that are just out of commission. Also, speaking of pitchers out of commission, Dustin May just seems like he should just. We talked about this last night. He should just retire. He just had surgery on his esophagus after having like 15 elbow surgeries.
I still don't understand how you tear your esophagus. Was that what it was? Torn esophagus?
It was something.
Like how? Whatever.
Most random thing, people. Yeah. But all right, I think I'm done with the NL. I'm not a huge fan of the game so far. I'm instilling so much excitement for this game, people. I'm excited to see the Phils. You know, I got 8 representatives for the Phils. That's nice to have, but it's just not the same spectacle as it used to be. And
All right. Well, I'll try to be a bit more positive.
No, be as negative as possible, people.
Because I am in favor of the starting lineup for the American League over in general.
Oh, yeah, the American League, yeah.
The American League one is pretty solid. So, catching, you have Adley Rutschman.
Yep.
First base, you have Vladimir Guerrero Jr. for Toronto. Second base, Marcus Semien. Third base, Jose Ramirez. Shortstop, Gunnar Henderson. The three outfielders, Aaron Judge, Juan Soto, Stephen Kwan. And then Yordan Alvarez is the DH for Houston.
You have so many more stars.
Yep.
In the American
League. And that's the difference.
And the thing is, Semien isn't deserving because Altuve probably is deserving of that. Yeah. But and you put on Altuve, he's a star.
Well, there's more power in the lineup too because you got, you know, Rutschman and Judge and Soto and Vlad in there.
Oh, my gosh.
And Gunnar Henderson.
Yeah.
So.
Watch, yeah. I agree.
I don't really have complaints about the starting lineup. It's a solid lineup. I agree with Greenwood. It has more appeal. I'm more excited to watch what's happening in the American League, and it's not just because I have the bias for the American League, which I do, but I think objectively it's a better starting lineup.
100%. Yeah. 100%. Like that lineup. Oh my gosh. All right, who do you put first? You put Gunnar first?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I should have done. I should have done a lineup. Off the top of my head.
Yeah.
But yeah. Sorry. Continue. I'm
overtaking. No. You're fine.
Yeah.
Well, you're the one that talks a lot.
I do.
And you just talk over me all the time.
I'm sorry, people. I'm sorry.
And then there's the people on the reserves. So you have Salvador Perez, who's a catcher, who's the ageless wonder.
Yeah.
In terms of catchers, he's been around for how many seasons now? Like 12 or 13?
It's been a bit.
He's the one guy remaining active for the Royals who was on that 2015 team. You have Carlos Correa, who's deserving, even though he's an Astro, former Astro, so it is what it is.
Yeah.
Santander did get in, which I was happy to see because I thought he got snubbed at first.
Yeah.
Honestly. But he came in as a replacement.
Yeah.
For Kyle Tucker, I think.
Yeah. Wow. I just looked at all the unavailable guys. Holy crap.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's a reason why, Tanner Houck is having a good season, but Rafael Devers, I mean,
yeah.
You kind of wish he was in there.
Yeah. Same.
Because he's having a good season, but he's not. Altuve can't play. Logan Gilbert for Seattle. And Kyle Tucker are the unavailable guys.
Dang, jeez.
And you have like Bobby Witt Jr. as a reserve.
Your shortstop, American League shortstop, I think has it over the NL right now. Because Mookie's hurt. If Mookie wasn't hurt,
yeah. It would be the other way around.
Yeah, it might be the other way. I don't know. Trey Turner and Mookie. Would you rather have Trey Turner and Mookie, or would you rather have Gunnar Henderson and Bobby Witt Jr.?
Trey and Mookie.
You would?
Yeah.
All right, yeah. It's hard. It's a good...
They're both good.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Mookie and Trey are not good defensively at short. That's the only thing.
Yeah.
Where Bobby Witt and Gunnar, they're younger. And they're more... Mookie and Trey are more established. All right, sorry.
Yeah. And this is the one area where I think you are stronger at, and that's starting pitching.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah, because you got Tyler Anderson, Corbin Burns, Garrett Crochet, Logan Gilbert, Tanner Houck, Seth Lugo, Cole Reagans, and Tarik Skubal.
Yeah, Skubal, he's nuts.
Skubal is nuts, but I don't think it has the same kind of weight like it does with the pitching in the National League. Because you got guys like Zach Wheeler, Chris Sale, Ronaldo Lopez in there.
A little bit more star power in mine, probably. A little bit more.
But there is a bit more.
Yeah.
I mean, you have Corbin Burns.
That's probably the only guy that people would recognize. But
people
even
would
they,
recognize Seth Lugo out there.
No,
maybe.
Or Cole Reagans. No.
Skubal.
Skubal, yeah, but he's still young. Yeah. Like, he's still, yeah.
Well, because he's having a great year.
Yeah. He's probably going to win Cy Young. He's going to win Cy Young.
And then relief pitchers.
You got some good relief pitchers.
There's some good ones. Class A, Holmes, Munoz, Miller, and Yates. The most important one, of course, is Mason Miller.
Yeah, dude.
The one who's just been blowing everyone out of the water with his 104-mile-an-hour fastballs. And what was it, 94-mile-an-hour slider?
Friday night against the Phils, he threw a 94-mile-an-hour slider. I was just on the couch watching. I'm like, that's at 90 freaking 4 miles an hour?
Yeah.
On a slider. That's faster than some guy's fastballs.
Mm-hmm.
That's ridiculous. That's almost the average speed of the fastball in Major League Baseball. Because the average speed, I believe, has gone up to 95, I believe. Ugh, it's ridiculous. Continue.
I do have to talk about the one guy, and this is where the discussion from earlier comes in. That's Clay Holmes.
Yeah.
I know he had a great start to the year, but he also leads the league in blown saves. And even whenever I've watched him pitch,
yeah,
he's never a guy I feel super confident in. He always makes things interesting. He always puts a couple runners on base every time I watch him. It's like, he's shaky. Granted, closers aren't the most consistent people. You know, one season they'll dish lights out, and then the next they'll have like a 5 ERA as a closer.
Mm-hmm.
But
Craig Kimbrell.
Kimbrell has, I think he's doing a bit better right now than Holmes.
A couple years ago. I meant more. Yeah. Sorry.
Kimbrell has better numbers right now than Holmes does. And he's not in the All-Star game.
It's true. He was last year.
Yeah.
And he probably didn't deserve it last year. But yeah.
Even like maybe Kelly Jansen may have had a shot over Clay Holmes. But he's in. It's fine. I'm not going to try and complain too much about it.
Yeah.
I really wanted to see one or two other people that didn't make it in. One was Brent Rooker.
Yeah.
I saw a little bit of the game today against the Phillies. I know it was a blowout, but he crushed two of those home runs.
450 and 452 feet.
Yeah.
Both landed in Ashburn Alley. One went over the batter's eye. And one, this is what I was listening on the radio, and one went into Ashburn Alley. 450 and 452 feet. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's power right there.
Yeah. And the other, I was kind of thinking this through. Maybe perhaps someone at third base, like a Jose Miranda.
Mm-hmm.
I think he has comparable numbers to, say, Paredes, who's in the All-Star game right now.
Yeah.
I think they're kind of interchangeable in that respect, though, so it could have gone either way. But if there was someone that had to replace Paredes as a reserve, I think Miranda could have gotten in.
Yeah. No, I can see that. I can definitely see that. Got anything else? Because I have a question for you.
What's the question?
Who are you most excited to see in the All-Star game that's not a Yankee?
I'm curious to see how the new Orioles are going to do in the All-Star game.
But yeah, like the starting
Orioles, Rushman and Henderson.
Yeah, because they were 1-2 in the lineup for Baltimore.
Yeah.
They're definitely exciting. Gunnar's exciting player to watch. He's got all the tools to do it. No, I agree. To answer my own question for the NL, that's not a Philly. Oh gosh, no one stole sight of me. Like, oh yeah, I'm not choosing anyone in the starting lineup. I'm like, oh, yeah, it really doesn't. Like Otani, maybe that's the only person. But I think because I just saw him play, like it doesn't really install like a lot of like, oh yeah, I can't wait to see him. Probably either him or maybe De La Cruz for Cincinnati, seeing kind of what he can do. Mm-hmm. But I'm interested to see how Paul Skenes does, actually, and as the starting pitcher. I think that actually might be my option. You know, dude's a rookie. He didn't come up right. He came up late April, I think. But he's since then, he's been fantastic. He got taken out of his last start, and he was still pitching a no-hitter. But he pitched 7 innings and no-hit ball. Dude is definitely having a great year. He's probably going to win Rookie of the Year. He's going to be up there in Cy Young Award right now. So he's definitely having one of those years that is good for baseball to have excitement. What do you got?
He's the fifth pitcher to ever start in the All-Star game, a rookie pitcher.
Yeah. he's the fifth pitcher all time to ever start in the Major League All-Star game, people.
The last person, Hideo Nomo.
Oh,
that's
Hideo.
That's a throwback.
Oh.
In 1995.
Wow, 95. I was 1 year old.
I was 3.
Man, look at that. Long time, people.
Indeed.
We're getting up there.
I had a question for you.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, like, I guess I haven't paid too much attention to Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little bit surprised to see Yelich back as a starter in the All-Star game. It's a nice surprise, but was this something that was expected?
The NL outfield is so poor. So, so poor. So poor. Like, literally, Yelich, like, Tatis really isn't an all-star, like, numbers-wise. I think he's got, like, 15 home runs, 40-something RBIs, and, like, batting, like, 270. But, like, when you think of, compared to the AL outfield, you have Stephen Kwan, who's batting 350, and then you got Judge and Soto with 20-plus homers. Judge got 34, 35, and batting 300 with an OPS over 1,000.
Yep.
The NL outfield compared to the AL outfield, light years. Literally light years ahead.
I can't disagree with you on that.
And Tatis, a couple years ago, was definitely like the star power. He was going to be the face of MLB, probably. But then he had the injury and then the steroid thing, like with the hair cream or whatever it was. The NL outfield is just absolutely god-awful. Jackson Merrill's having a good Rookie of the Year, but I don't view him as an all-star. And Brian Reynolds is another outfielder. Just there's not a ton of outfield options. Like Harper's now at first base. You know, Castellanos is having a bad year. Schwarber's having an okay year, but he got hurt, and you know he's more of a DH.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you think of other outfielders in the NL, does anyone off the top of your head? Mookie's now in the infield.
Yeah,
like. You've moved Harper and Mookie both into the infield. So that takes away, it limits the amount of options. Because I remember when Dansby Swanson, he was getting interviewed. He said, it was live. He said, oh, they just made the announcement that Mookie's moving to shortstop. And Dansby was like, well, I'm never starting the All-Star game ever again. Like, it's just never going to happen because Mookie's really, really good. But they moved him in the infield. So you can have more. I don't know if you can have more spots, but you know, the outfield, you can only have, I don't know. It's not the same. It's really not the same.
Well, vote Nimmo in for the next All-Star game.
Nah, I'm okay. We don't
then you'll have more outfield.
We don't need any more Mets. We don't need any more Mets in here. I don't have really anything. Oh, I want to know your prediction for the, that's kind of our closing hot take, people. What's the prediction for the 2024 MLB All-Star Game. Who's winning?
I'm going to say 5-3 American League.
5-3 American League?
Yes.
Okay. Let's see. What am I going to do? I'm going to do probably 3-1 American League. 3-1 American League.
So a 2-run difference either way.
Yeah. It's going to be low scoring, in my opinion. Yeah. I don't think that there's going to be... I don't think there's going to be a lot of lot of scoring. I really don't. I don't think there's going to be. It's just, that's kind of the trend. Like, you don't see 10 run all-star games anymore because the pitching is just so dominant with it. You got anything else?
No, I'm looking forward to Tuesday.
Yeah.
And Monday,
Home Run Derby. So we got, to revamp or refresh everyone's mind, we have Alonso winning the Home Run Derby for Kev. You have Teoscar Hernandez winning the Home Run Derby for me. And then we have a 5-3 victory for the American League for Kev. And you have a 5-3-1 victory for the American League for me. So we have both our Home Run Derbies are going to be nationally winners, and the American League is going to win the All-Star game.
Yeah.
That's how the trend is. So the National League,
there's more parity in the Home Run Derby with American and National League.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah. I agree with that. Last year, the NL won for like the first time in what? I don't know how many years. It's a long time.
Yeah.
And the AL has dominated the freaking the All-Star game for a long time.
Indeed.
But yeah. So, you got anything else?
No. I'll just say, if you're ever in Baltimore, a place called Delia Foley's near the ballpark had some amazing smoked wings.
So good. So good. Now, let's talk about that for a little bit. We're good on time, right? We're good on time? Yeah.
If they're still listening to us, they might as well finish.
We had some wings that, let's see, what did we have? We had the mango habanero. We had the destiny wings. We had the buffalo wings, and then we had the O'Hearn wings, which are the special edition wings. Yes. Every single one was good.
Yes.
Every single one was fantastic.
I'm not a huge mango person, but the mango habanero might have been my favorite.
So good. And it wasn't super spicy.
No.
They were the second favorite wing that I've ever had, I will say, down there. I had some wings in Philly that were actually fantastic. They were at a pub when I was doing office trivia. But these wings were so good, people. I can't talk about them enough. They were so good. We ordered 40. Total between the three of us, I think.
Yeah.
And we finished them all, and I was still hungry.
There were still those pretzel, those doughy pretzel dessert
things.
Oh,
yeah, the cinnamon pretzel.
The cinnamon pretzel.
Oh, yeah, they were so good.
Yeah.
So our friend Zach Rallo is a, shout out to Zach Rallo, former Eastern Ultimate Frisbee alum. He lives down in Virginia, I believe, but he's a very big O's fan.
In Arlington.
Yeah, he's a big O's fan. And he recommended this spot because he would go there every week with his buddies, he said, and he was not joking. These wings are prime wings. Also, the beer that I had, the volcano sauce.
That was a beer?
Yeah, it was a beer. You tasted it, right?
I tasted it. I didn't think it was a beer.
It was a sour.
Okay.
Yeah. So good. Oh, my gosh. I'm more excited about the wings and the beer than the actual All-Star game, people, if you made it this far. Yeah. But also, Kevin and I, if you haven't seen, we've put out a schedule for everyone to kind of get excited about the next couple episodes. And this is one of them. This was one that was on the schedule. We're recording it on time we don't have to change schedule. Our next one will be Tuesday the 23rd. That's when we're recording it. And we have a special guest. And then we are going to have a podcast after the Phil's Yanks series. And that's going to be August 1st. So we will see you guys then, I guess, right?
Indeed, yeah. Putting out a lot of episodes.
Yeah, we're doing it, people. We're finally getting the swing of things and getting things out. So we hope you enjoyed our preview of the 2024 All-Star Game. We hope you enjoy the festivities, the Home Run Derby, the All-Star Game. Let us know your prediction, you know, who's going to win it. Who's going to win the Home Run Derby? Who's going to win the All-Star game? And, you know, has it lost its spectacle? Is the star power gone? Are you still excited for the All-Star game?
Where are my spectacles?
Yes. You don't wear glasses, do you?
I do.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I wear contacts, but
that's not glasses.
I guess you're asking me that in the way it's like, do I wear glasses? Like, my eyes are bad.
Is there a different way to ask, do you wear glasses?
Do you wear glasses? Where are my spectacles? I don't have spectacles.
No, you don't. That's what I'm asking. Do you wear? Because I've never seen you wear glasses. I've seen you wear glasses once.
Yeah.
No, I forget.
I probably should wear them more often, though.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Check your eyesight, people.
Yeah.
PSA or public service announcement. Go get your eyes checked.
Yeah.
So, all right. Thanks for listening, everyone. We hope you enjoy festivities and the game, and hope you enjoyed listening to us debrief. So, we'll catch you on the 23rd.